Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
All right, let's move from banking now to our weekly listener question every Wednesday on the email address business@hot1027.co.za. We find the very best expert to engage with your query. And it's free of charge and no hidden costs. So tonight, Annabel writes, "Dear Jeremy, with all the drama in the markets lately, could you help us make sense of a few things?" She says, "What actually happens when markets crash? The rand, what determines whether it's strong or weak? And more importantly," says Annabel, "how can we tell what has caused a particular movement in the rand? We would really appreciate your insights." Well, Annabel, firstly, not my insights, but insights from Simon Brown from Just One Lap, who is one of our favorite market commentators. Simon, good evening to you. Let's start with the basics. When people say the markets have crashed, what does that really mean in practical terms? What's happening under the hood?
Evening, Jeremy. I mean, what it means is that there's been just profound panic within the stock market, and participants are overwhelmingly selling. Now, the market is made up of buyers and sellers. If there are more buyers than sellers, the market goes up. And if there's more sellers than the buyers, market goes down. On an average day, a market might move 0.5%, 1%, even maybe 2%. But then something will sometimes trigger the market and create massive fear, and sellers just become absolutely overwhelming. They just want out. They almost, you know, don't care about the price. They just don't want to be holding shares anymore. They want to get out of this. They want to get into cash or maybe some other sort of asset type. And you just see that overwhelming amount of sell orders coming. A typical crash, I mean, you know, how big is it? What percentage is it? You know, Friday, our market was down around 6%. Is that a crash? An old hand like me would say no, because I remember the crash of 87, which was 22% down in one single day. But markets are much more advanced these days. We get what you call circuit breakers. You get volatility auctions, so that if a market starts to fall, they take a breather. They'll say, hey, everyone, let's close the market or come back in 5, 10, 15 minutes, and we will try again. Now, that doesn't always work. Sometimes the selling will relentlessly continue, and we certainly saw some of that back in the early sort of March pandemic 2020 markets. We saw some of that in the 2008, 2009, but never quite at the level of that 1987 crash. Even in 2008, the worst week that we saw was around 23% down in a week, as opposed to 22% down in a single day. But the short answer, people are panicking.
So if it's a crash, if it's a decline, if it's panic, all of this, what I'm hearing you say is it's linked to sentiment-driven concern. But surely economic decline also plays a role in this, and it would be difficult, surely, to tell the difference because the two are inextricably linked.
They absolutely are, and you're 100% right about sentiment. But you also need to understand what markets are. Markets aren't really thinking about what's happening today. They're looking forward 6 or 12 months, and they're saying, okay, we're looking at a particular stock, an industry, maybe a sector, maybe a geography. What's going to happen over the next year in terms of are there going to be peaceful elections maybe? Will there be a different political party coming into power? What's interest rates and inflation? What's GDP? So markets have kind of planned out the next 12 months. Now, we don't do it perfectly. There's a lot of scope for error. What then spooks it is something really significant changes. Let's take an example locally in South Africa. Let's say we'd woken up after last year's election and MK had won. MK had walked away with 51%. That would have been something which no one had anticipated, no one was expecting. So it's that sudden change in what you think the future looks like, and it makes a sentiment change today. So it's absolutely linked to geopolitics, economics, valuations, but it's that shift that really spooks it.
And Simon, what about timing? Do markets usually crash suddenly or decline suddenly, or are there warning signs that ordinary investors might be able to spot ahead of time?
There isn't really. There is one thing which I will point out, is that often when markets are rising and we're at record highs, people say, oh, the market's going to crash. And all of the big sell-offs that we've seen over 100 plus years of global markets, that's not the case. Markets crash from when they've already been falling. So in other words, you've had days, perhaps weeks, perhaps even a month or two of fairly relentless selling. And then it's a case of almost a capitulation. So markets sort of collapse from the lows rather than the highs. But the ability to spot it and, you know, to have someone come on your show and say it's going to be Tuesday, truthfully, if they get it right with respect, it was a whole bunch of luck.
What about people, Simon, with pensions, investments, or just simply a budget to manage? Right now then, what is the smartest thing to do when markets start tumbling? Do we sit tight, act fast, or do we panic?
Typically, you sit tight and do nothing and switch the channel if need be. If you've got time on your side, and, you know, we've had numerous market collapses over the many years. A 20% market correction occurs every 3 to 5 years on average. We had one just recently in the US, 2022. I think the NASDAQ was down over 30% during that. At that point in time, it feels absolutely like the end of the world. But every single collapse has recovered at a market level. Individual companies might not all recover, but at a market level, every single collapse has been preceded by all-time highs. So if you've got time on your side, i.e. 5+ years, and you might be a pensioner and say, but I'm in retirement, I need the pension. Correct, but I mean, truthfully, your life expectancy might be 90, 95 years. You might still have decades. So panicking, no. One thing I would say to folks who are living off their investments, as distinct from people who are still building their investments, is probably have a little more cash than you would normally have. And I would say like maybe a year or two. So that, for example, if you've got a living annuity and you need to make your drawdown and markets have been falling, you can do a very small drawdown and you can go and raise some of your cash so that you're not selling at lows. You'd rather be selling in rising markets.
Simon, Annabelle also asked about the Rand. So in simple terms then, what are the biggest forces that determine whether it is strong or weak on a given day?
I think there are three. I think one is internal, our own geopolitics, our own inflation, our government of national unity, our ability or inability to pass a budget. So a third of it is really all about us. Another third is really just about the world. What's happening globally? What's happening to the dollar? Is the dollar moving weaker or stronger? Because that's going to certainly see impact on our currency. So what are the bigger global issues? And then there is a third one, which is a little more nuanced. We have a very liquid currency. Although we have exchange controls, they're not nearly as bad as many other emerging markets. So if you are worried about emerging markets generally, and you want to take a position in an emerging market currency, you would probably trade the South African Rand just because of ease, because of liquidity. So it might be concerns in Latin America. It might be concerns in Turkey or something. But then people will trade into our market. So it's broadly three. One is exactly what we're doing. The other is sort of the global picture, and then specifically emerging markets where traders will use our currency as a proxy.
And Simon Brown from Just One Lap, we'll talk to you again tomorrow for our markets and company report just before 7 o'clock. If you have a question, we do this every Wednesday on the program, just email us at business@hot1027.co.za. And as I said at the start of this conversation, we'll find the very best person to answer that question. Simon, talk soon, and thank you very much.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.